Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
It's the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. John takes the day off, and Jake Skorheim steps in. So great to have you, Jake. So great to have everybody along. Chris Martin's in for Joe because Joe's not feeling so well, but we've got Andrew and Nate and the whole rest of the gang.
Joe Mama.
Yes, that's right. Joe Mama.
It's at least what he said. He said he wasn't feeling well. There's no way to verify that legally, but he said he wasn't feeling well.
Did you want to take a break and go to his house and check him out?
Back in my day, we showed up to work sick or not. No, just kidding. No, I'm sure he's sick. He doesn't strike me as a dishonest person.
Okay, I want to say something, and I want you to tell me what it means.
Okay.
What is the Environmental Protection Agency rule?
To protect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And what did Joe Biden just do to help out with that cause?
I believe he started, I would love to know. What did he do?
Well, what he did was he's requiring automakers to ramp up the sales of EVs.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because they can slash carbon emissions from gas-powered cars. And apparently our gas-powered cars account for about one-fifth of Americans' contribution to global warming.
And this has to all take place by what? Is it 2030?
Yeah,
they've pushed this back beyond. Originally, it was slated to kick in sometime around like 2027, but they or 26 maybe. But they have now said we're going to push this back and we're going to not make this kick in until 2030. Which I guess there's an alliance of auto manufacturers who are quite happy with this, that this new EV rule is being pushed to 2030 because they want to keep selling vehicles and people don't buy electric vehicles right now in the numbers that they were supposed to, and so they want to still make money, which is great for those companies.
Yes. So John Bozzella, the president and CEO of the Auto Alliance, says moderating the pace of EV adoption in 2027, 2028, 2029, and 2030 was the right call. These adjusted EV targets, still a stretch goal, should give the market and supply chains a chance to catch up. That may very well be true. But will it give a chance for the infrastructure to be in place to support these EVs, which it is not at this point? A lot of people say, well, you know, they'll continue to push hybrids, and that would be a solution.
Even Elon Musk, I heard him give a speech one time, and obviously Tesla is the most, I think I heard, the other day I heard that one of the Tesla models was the best-selling car in the world. It's a very successful electric car, but even Elon Musk says there is nowhere near the infrastructure, the capacity to support all the electric vehicles that people would need if we switched over to just EVs, like anytime mm-hmm. soon. And so, you know, that's if Tesla's saying that, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And they've come down in price. They say it's within $5,000 now where you can get a car, you know, an EV that's about the same as a regular car. And I am not interested. I'm not even intrigued by it because I guess because I'm old or because I just it worries me.
Do you like here's a couple of things that as I was looking into this a little bit, I found this interesting. The market would seem to dictate what people want. And so you have the government on one side, you have Joe Biden on one side saying that we are going to mandate no gas powered vehicles by a certain year.
Mm-hmm.
If the general public is so in love with these electric vehicles, why aren't they buying them? They're just not buying them. Like, so Ford originally had this really ambitious plan. They have this truck called the Ford Lightning, which is really a cool truck, actually. When I first saw it, they had this really great ad where it's a house. It's a really futuristic, modern-looking house, and it's in a storm. This is a Ford ad that I saw. The house is having some sort of a storm, and it knocks the electric power out. And so the house is the only house on the block that has this Ford Lightning F-150 parked in the driveway. And what does the F-150 do? Magically, it realizes that power has been cut out to the house and it starts sending the battery power back from the truck battery into the house. And it can power your house, your full house. It can power if you have whatever conversion thing you would need. It can power your house for up to 3 days, which is pretty cool. Like, that's a cool add-on because mm-hmm. my car right now can't power my house if the power goes out. So I like things like that. But even Ford said, we actually are going to cut back our production on these by a third. We had these projections out. We built a new plant. we're actually going to cut our production back by 30-something percent because nobody's buying these trucks. They're just not buying them as fast. And then Mercedes back at, like, I don't know, it was like 2 years ago, they said, hey, you know what? We're really ambitious about these electric vehicles. In fact, by 2030, they had picked the year 2032, ironically, by 2030, all Mercedes vehicles that we put out on the road are going to be electric. We will not even offer a gas-powered option. And then earlier this year, Mercedes said, well, we're going to pump the brakes on that. Actually, the markets are now dictating people don't want electric vehicles in the numbers we thought they did, so we're going to keep offering gas-powered vehicles. But then you have the government stepping in and saying everything has to be electric. So something is not lining up.
Well, the reason that the Tesla took off like it did is because it's cool.
It is cool.
It's a different kind of car. It's a different looking kind of car. Now they're sort of ubiquitous because you see them everywhere. But when they first came out, they were like, wow, look at that. So I think that has a lot more to do with it than someone buying into the EV thing. I think that's just, by the way, it happens to be an EV.
So you don't think that they're like specifically, oh, I'm trying to have only electric vehicles. It's for climate. You think it's just that's the popular cool car right now?
Yeah, it's kind of a status symbol. So
big time.
I don't think the EV part. I think they would still have sold as many or more if it was gas powered.
Yeah.
I think that's irrelevant to the car. I mean, there are some people out there that believe fully that it is your responsibility to not have a gas-powered car. But I think most of us, it's going to be a tough transition. And there's just nothing that suggests they can get these EV charging stations up. But I mean, what are you going to do? Replace the gas stations? Where's the property? I live in a place called Old Town Alexandria, and it's just about 4 miles outside of DC. It's a really pretty little, walking town. There is no land.
You got a lot of EV charging stations in Old Town?
There's no land whatsoever to put an EV station.
Yeah.
So I know you can do it at home and all of that, but look at all the examples that we heard about over the winter.
Yes.
When they couldn't charge their cars. They went out. It takes 30 minutes to charge, and then trying to find a charging place if you're on a cross country trip, good luck.
Yeah. We do road trips every summer. We tend to try to get it. You know, I love going on road trips. It's one of my favorite ways to vacation. So, and I have three little kids, so we don't want to get them on a plane. That's a hassle. So we pile them all into the car, and we were thinking this summer, wouldn't it be fun? Because I don't have an electric vehicle. I drive a truck, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun? Maybe we should try an electric vehicle because gas is so expensive over the summertime, and it's ramping up again. Gas is really pricey. And so last summer, we were like, let's look into getting one of those fun Teslas, and I want to try it just to see what it's like. And won't it be cool to not have to pay for gas? And, that'll offset the cost of renting a car instead of just driving one of our cars. And then I started doing some research into how many places I could actually stop between here and Montana, which was our final destination, which is was in Yellowstone. Between here and Yellowstone, where could I stop to fill this thing up? And I started looking. There are not many options the further inland that you head. I mean, there's a lot of options around Seattle, obviously, but the further into Montana, past Idaho, all those places, you just can't find them. And then if you can find them, what would normally take 5 minutes for me to fill my gas tank and then I'm back on the road and I don't have to sit with my kids in a car just doing nothing. The further you get, if you can find a charging station, you're not guaranteed to get in line right away. Somebody else might be using it. And then you have to sit there for a half hour, which is, that seems totally, totally crazy to me. And so it's just we don't have the infrastructure right now. It's not going to work for a lot of people. And so for them to say, we're going to mandate this, I think this is one of those things, truthfully, I think this is one of those things that the president might say, maybe they'll even pass it. But eventually somebody else will be in the office and they'll just like shut it down and people will just continue having gas powered vehicles.
You're exactly right. Trump has promised to kill this if he becomes president, which is a big if. But if he does, he's got a lot of rolling back of Biden's policies that he's going to do. And remember, Biden is kind of in the hip pocket of, a lot of the environmentalists and a lot of people that really believe that climate change is our biggest threat.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's our biggest threat to everything. So it's an election year. He's going to do those things. And another thing is student loan forgiveness. He allowed $5.8 billion in student debt to be
just wiped clean.
Was forgiven.
Yeah.
The relief total right now for how many student loans have been forgiven, $143.6 billion.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Can I ask you a question about this really fast? There is this, I have this, as soon as you say student loan forgiveness, I instantly kind of go, oh, these kids. Like, I get this instant like feeling of, I don't like them. I don't like these kids who want college debt just wiped off. And the reason I have that feeling is because I remember after college, and this is the feeling that a lot of people probably have. It's not an uncommon feeling. You might have the same one. I don't know how you feel about this, but we'll get into it. I had to pay off my student loans after college. Mm-hmm. And it took me about, I'm trying to remember how long it took. I was married. So at least I got married, let's see, 2 years after I graduated. No. I got married 5 years after I graduated college. And then once I was married, probably like 2 or 3 years into my marriage, we finally paid off my student loans. Mm-hmm. So I had student loans for like 8 years that I was paying off. And I eventually paid them off. And that was something that I was super happy that I could do because it was awful to like go like, oh, wait a minute, college actually costs money?
Yeah.
So why do I have to pay them off and this next generation doesn't have to pay them off?
I agree completely. And I can't remember who made the comparison and said, why should a person who gets out of college, takes out a loan to start a business, and yet somebody that went to college as an alternative, they get their debt wiped away, but the person that started a business doesn't?
Great question. Yeah.
Not fair.
Not fair. Mm-mm. And here's another thing about student loan debt. Because everybody says, oh, we've got this major student loan debt. That's the thing that they always say. Like, we have this major student debt problem. And we do, because colleges are really, really expensive. The problem, though, is that it is kind of targeted at a very specific, very small number of people. So the 40% of all student debt comes from graduate students. So people who have pretty good opportunities after they finish college. And so we're talking about people who've been to, like, dental school, medical school, law school. These are high earning jobs. And so you are then saying, all right, we're just going to target these high earners and we're going to give them or forgive $10,000 a pop or whatever the number is at whatever time they're doing it. And you have other people who are going, you know what? Like, I started a mechanic shop and I invested money into hiring other people. I had to buy the lift, which is hydraulic and it's really expensive. I had to get all the city planning stuff that has to go into, you know, putting in a new mechanic shop. Why are you forgiving somebody who is, you know, a doctor? Why are you forgiving their student debt? You're just making their life easier. Why aren't you making my life any easier? Just to your point, like, it feels unfair that they're just targeting one group of people and not the other.
Well, I mean, the student debt in this country, they have 4.3 million student loans. It makes up $1.63 trillion.
That's a lot of money.
And I don't really feel sorry for these people that are saying after the pandemic pause, now they're finding that they are struggling to pay back the loans. They're struggling. I'm sorry, but that's just called budgeting.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's kind of like, oh, if your credit card gives you a month or two off and then you have to pay it again, you're like, I don't have the money now. Too bad.
Do you think also, like, here's the other thing that I think about of this. This is happening right now. The student loan forgiveness might be happening right now, but you just can't. The government cannot just keep forgiving student loans indefinitely. So, like, maybe people benefit right now from student loan repayments or wiping out or whatever they call it. Future generations are not going to get this option because you just can't. Like, the government just doesn't have an endless supply of money. The other thing that people rightly complain about is that student loan forgiveness is a stimulus program. It's just giving money to people. But it's not the same as, like, other stimulus programs where that money directly finds its way into other things. Like, it's not directly finding its way into a restaurant down the street or whatever, which might stimulate the economy. It's just wiping out debt that somebody has. And so it's not working the same way in the economy.
Well, in its defense about, you know, this latest forgiveness, the public service loan forgiveness program started in 2007. And people that entered into jobs in public service, nurses, doctors,
firefighters,
all that stuff, were promised that their loan would be forgiven, and it never happened.
Hmm.
So I do think they're owed that money. If that promise has been broken, they've owed their money. And I believe they still had to qualify for this forgiveness. They had to have paid 10 years of it.
Okay. Was there a threshold number, or is it just anybody in public service? Or like, I know in previous student loan forgiveness, you know, payouts, people had to make less than $125,000 to qualify for some of the repayment programs. Is it just any public service person?
I don't think that there's a cap on that. Yeah. I think it's probably, but yeah, I mean, it's an election year again. And so
that's the other part. Do you feel like this is part of the election process?
Oh, absolutely.
Would this be happening? Would this be a push right now if it wasn't 2024? If this was 2022, would this be happening?
Well, it did start happening back then, but this is something that Joe Biden has promised, and he's trying to get the young vote. And he's saying, you know, look what I did for you. I forgave X amount of dollars, and how many people were able to get back on their feet. And then there will be one example of somebody, you know, Casey Jones in Iowa was struggling to pay back her loan. And with the student forgiveness loan, she was able to buy a hair salon.
Now she bought a new car.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's we can write the script.
Last question. I know we got to get to a break here, but last question. If Trump was in the White House and he was still president and he did this, wouldn't people be totally legitimate in saying that this seems like an election? It's not election interference, but wouldn't they have right to criticize him for trying to pay off student loans? I think people are totally fair to be criticizing Biden for doing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, back, I guess, in 2020, they said if Trump cured cancer, people would be like, oh, great. Now he's cured cancer. They'd find a way to vilify him no matter what he did, whether it's an election year or not. So coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Joe Biden. He has a stutter, and it looks like he's admitting now that it's still there. We'll tell you why coming up. Also, John Hinckley, he's got a career he wants to pursue. We'll give you an example of that quote-unquote career.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, thank you, Jake. Jake Skorheim in for John Curley on the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. This is brought to you by Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Take your car to Bucky's, and thank you, Bucky's. I was doing a little looking into how many stars had criminal records. And there are quite a few. Tim Allen, Edward Bunker, Roy Calhoun, Snoop Dogg, Charles Dutton, Stephen Fry. Now, I don't know what
Can I pause you? I knew Tim Allen, and then after that, you said something, two other names that I didn't recognize. Calhoun? Somebody Calhoun?
Well, okay, Edward Bunker. He was born in 1933.
Edward Bunker?
We all get a pass on that.
Everybody knows
Calhoun,
Edward Bunker.
Yeah. He also looked like his headshot looks like from 1955.
Okay.
But you know Snoop Dogg, right?
Yeah. No, I know Snoop Dogg.
Charles Dutton.
Martha Stewart. Right? She has
Martha
a record.
Martha Stewart.
She went to jail.
Nick Nolte, Will Smith, Mark Wahlberg. So there are a lot of them. And I have no problem with someone doing their time and going back into society and having a wonderful life.
That's the way the system works.
John Hinckley Jr., however, is saying that he is a victim of cancel culture because he has a music career and concerts that just keep getting canceled.
If people don't know who John Hinckley Jr. is, we could refresh your memory. He attempted to shoot former President Ronald Reagan back in 1981. And yeah, he's been booking all these. He launched a music career. What was it? In 2020, he launched a music career. He was let out of his, he was in psychiatric care, right?
Yeah, he was at St. Elizabeth's. And for a while, they allowed him to go back to, I think, his mom's house or something on the weekends, and then slowly he was able to get released entirely.
Back with us. And so then in 2022, he was given permission to tour because apparently he's a musician. And so he starts setting up these concerts. And unfortunately, all these venue owners are getting negative feedback when you have an attempted presidential he's an attempted assassin. I guess people are not lining up around the corner to see his shows, and so they're being canceled.
Well, he also shot the Secret Service and, of course, I'm just blanking on his name, Brady, who had a terrible head injury. So there was a lot that happened that day that he's accountable for. But he was found not guilty by reason of insanity. He did his time in the psychiatric hospital. And when he got out, one of his first gigs was going to be in Brooklyn. It sold out and then they canceled it. So he says he's kind of used to it. I don't necessarily think this is what we describe as cancel culture. There may be something else responsible for this,
isn't cancel culture generally like somebody doesn't like something about you, or maybe you say something and maybe your intention is not to say the thing, but they use it as a way to get rid of you, and they stop your ability to make money, all these things. When you actually take shots at a president of the United States, and when you then critically wound three other people, then you have done the thing that people can. I mean, it's fair that people don't like this guy, right?
A lot of people also believe that the insanity defense was not what he deserved. He should have gone to prison. But I think it's clear. I watched a documentary on him, and it was pretty fascinating. It was very clear that he was truly mentally ill obsession with Jodie Foster.
That's it. Jodie Foster.
Right. He thought that if he killed the president, that she would be impressed. He had all kinds of notes to her. There was all kinds of evidence that he had stalked her. It was just really bizarre behavior. But there may be another reason why people are canceling John Hinckley. Could it be that his music is not so great?
Should we hear some of it?
Yeah, let's listen.
Chris, do you have this audio? Actually, I don't have it in front of me.
Yep, and he actually has an album out, too.
Oh, does he?
But here he is playing one of his songs live. It's called Never Ending Quest.
I have got my poetry. I have got my songs.
Yikes.
To see me through the lonely nights. Help me to be strong. I am like the dancing bear. I am on a never-ending quest.
Can you pause it there real fast? There's something about a guy who tried and failed to assassinate the president who sings a song called The Never-Ending Quest. There's just something really creepy about that.
especially given the backstory of the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
If John Hinckley Jr. is performing, like, you and I are now the judges on America's Got Talent. Is that it?
Right. And John Hinckley, take the backstory out of it.
Oh, okay.
Just based on pure quote unquote talent.
I know. All right.
Just play along.
Just play along. All right.
What do you think of his singing?
I mean, for me, it's golden buzzer. I think he's going straight to the finals. I think he's fantastic. No, obviously he's not my cup of tea. I don't know that I would listen to a lot of John Hinckley Jr. if I didn't know that he was an attempted assassin.
You know, it kind of reminds me of people that collect art that's done in prison by serial killers or something like that. And they look at it as sort of a trophy. Like, I don't know if they're going to see him because they really enjoy his music and think he's talented, or if they're going to see him because they get bragging rights. Like, you're not going to believe who we saw the other night.
Yeah, the novelty value of saying, I went to a John Hinckley Jr. concert. Somebody goes, who? And they go, oh, the guy who attempted assassination of President Reagan. Oh, yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Like, there's no value in going to one of his concerts.
No.
You're not getting great music. I guess the story, I imagine, has probably even worn off quite a bit. It was a long time ago. 1981?
Very long time ago. Yeah.
I mean, let's move on. Move on, folks. So, jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Speaking
of discrimination, there's an actress, poor thing.
Yeah, this is a sad, sad story.
I know. I mean, she can't get roles. Why?
She can't get roles. I believe her name is it Eliza Gonzalez? I don't have the story in front of me. My computer just did something
Eliza
funny.
Gonzalez.
So did we ever find audio, Chris, of her acting? Do we have some audio of her acting?
I couldn't find anything that, like, I thought this clip was better. She was on Glamour magazine interview, and she was talking about getting her role in the movie Ambulance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I called my agents and I said, how can I get this movie? What can I do? And then I sat down with Michael Bay and I said, Michael, I really believe in you as a director and I think you're really good, but I think that it's really important for you to make a female character that feels like a contemporary real woman and that feels dynamic and grounded and not designed over a male gaze. He's like, I don't want her to be sexy. I don't want to see any part of her body and showing skin. I want her covered up. She's the heart of the movie. It's super important.
So that's it. She's just basically telling Michael Bay how to do his job. This is one of those stories where you just go, like, does Hollywood have a history of not liking pretty people? That's what the story is, right? She's saying
the story is that she's just too pretty to get cast, and that she's been told many, many times, you know, we'd love to give it to you, but you're just too darn pretty.
Yeah, your acting is stellar. We love it. But, I mean, the camera just really shines to you too much. And, you know, obviously in Hollywood, we don't like to highlight beauty in any way.
Right.
I don't know if that's a great argument. I mean, there's a lot of... Isn't Hollywood kind of known for the opposite? Aren't they known for...
Yes.
Just hiring good-looking people.
I think there are many, many beautiful actresses out there, and they still seem to get work. I'm not sure what's going on with Eliza, but...
I can tell you, in the radio industry is like this, too. If you're exceptionally good-looking in the radio industry, I mean, Sherry, I imagine you have dealt with some of this as well. You and I have probably been discriminated against because we're fairly good-looking people.
Well, I think the real story is that we're on the radio because we are so good-looking that they're afraid that if they put us on television, people would, like, they couldn't look directly at us.
Their brains would explode.
That's
what happened.
Just be true.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks a lot for listening to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. The Muckleshoot Resort and Casino sponsors our text line. So why don't you give us a call? 1-888-973-5476. Send us a text. Check out our Instagram page. Lots and lots of stuff to look at there. John and Sherry Show. Sherry is spelled S-H-A-R-I. Jake Skorheim is filling the big shoes of John Curley today. Coming up, we're going to talk about it really depends where you live in the state of Washington. That will determine how far or how long you're going to live. And it's kind of a big gap, but right now.
Oh, that's a tease.
Thank you, Andrew.
That's ridiculous.
Our houses are too clean.
Way too clean.
We need germs. That's what the experts are saying. We need to introduce some good bacteria, and that could help prevent children from getting allergies, asthma. And it's really important to develop a healthy immune system. And part of the way you do that is to learn to fight off germs naturally.
Yeah. There's this thing called the hygiene hypothesis. And it suggests that a lack of exposure to – I'm reading this. I'm not this smart. A lack of exposure to infectious agents and certain microbes during childhood may lead to an increased risk of autoimmune diseases and allergies later in life. Basically, we have become so obsessed with cleanliness, you know, like everybody said, the term like, oh, stay safe, you know, like it kind of became this ubiquitous thing that everybody would say during, I hate to credit it to this, Sherry, but during the pandemic, people were always saying, stay safe, yeah, and cancel culture, and it's a big part of climate change. And
Trump started it.
Yeah, and also former President Donald Trump is responsible for this. But people were like really, really not letting themselves be, exposed to these things. And they're finding out that this is a bad deal. I have seen this personally in my own house. Every time we get into, and not just in my house, outside of my house too. But every time we get into the car, my wife, ever since the pandemic and Trump and climate change, has been keeping bottles of hand sanitizer in our different cars. And so every time we get into the car, like if we're leaving the park or I'm picking the kids up from school, because they're just surrounded, like especially at kids' school, there's like that's just like a stew of sickness. They get in the car and you go like, oh, take a little of the sanitizer. Mm-hmm. So the kids take it and you everybody wipe your hands and then get home and wash your hands real fast. I do have this thought in the back of my head as their parent, like, am I doing them a disservice? Is it actually better for them to be kind of collecting some of these germs so that later in life they're not, you know, sickly and they can fight these things off? And as I'm now reading in this article, like apparently my wife and I, and again, we're not medical professionals. We don't know. We've been doing the wrong thing the entire time. What we should have been doing is exposing them to germs, letting them be around, you know, I'm not telling them to go like, you know, lick the sidewalk or anything, but we should let kids be exposed to more germs. And in our houses, they're just way too clean. Do you agree with that or you disagree with that?
Here's my medical opinion.
Yeah, please. Because you're not a doctor, but I appreciate your medical opinion.
They're exposed to lots of germs at school.
You know what?
I think they're getting their fair share.
I forgot about all the kids at school.
Yes, that the petri dish that is elementary school.
So the sanitizer in the car, you think that's okay?
I think that's necessary.
Oh, you think it's necessary?
I wouldn't stop that. But my mom was a clean nut, and she wouldn't let us get our hair cut at a salon because she was afraid of germs on the scissors.
Oh.
And yeah. Ew. And I mean, so we grew up in a sterile environment. And my sister did have allergies and asthma and all of those things.
As a result of not getting haircuts.
Exactly. The hair just was collected, and it was up her nose, and it was down her throat. It was horrifying.
Poor thing.
I know.
And she still hasn't cut her hair or her nails, but other than that, totally normal.
But that hand sanitizer is in her hand all the time.
Good.
So, yeah, I would not stop doing that. We got a lot of stuff coming up. I didn't realize that we needed an education on this, but apparently a lot of us don't know how a four-way stop works. So we'll give you a little lesson on that.